Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about raising your vibration, taking inspired action, and creating the life that you want after a toxic relationship. So today we are going to talk about something that I think a lot of us have struggled with. And what it all comes down to is I think a lot of us are, by nature, people pleasers, right? And just before we get started, let me say this. I'm going to, as usual, just for those of you who are new around here, I will do about 15 minutes of content, then we'll read the cards, and then I'm going to open up for questions and whatever you need to talk about or ask me, okay? So here we go. So I'm going to start off telling you a little story. In my early 20s, I learned that my company was going to transfer me from my college town to the area that I had grown up in, which I thought was really convenient for a number of reasons. But I ended up staying at my mother's house for a couple of weeks while I was looking for an apartment in that area because she still lived in that area. Well, since I didn't have a car at the time, when the 2 weeks were over that I was staying, my friend came to pick me up from that area and decided to surprise me by bringing along my boyfriend. Well, that was cool, but I was kind of embarrassed because this guy was so outside of the type of person I would ever want to meet my parents. You know what I'm saying? But my mother ended up like gushing over how much she liked him. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, right? She even suggested that I invite him to move with me to the area that I was moving to. And since all I wanted was for my mother to approve of me, what do you think I did? Yep, I invited him. And within 5 months, we were married. Of course, I married him behind her back because she knew that, well, I knew that she would not approve, despite the fact that it was her suggestion to bring him along. And I would like to note here that I actually only knew him for about 3 weeks before I invited him to come with me. He was not someone I planned on keeping around after I moved. My mother was, of course, horrified and offended by what I did and told me in no uncertain terms, it's a mistake. Of course, it was a mistake, but we'll get to that another time. But by then, she had already decided she no longer liked him and had nothing but negative things to say. Well, and like I said, to be fair, he would turn out to be a covert narcissist, but that's another story. The thing is, though, that I married him even though I wasn't really that into him. And in fact, I had sort of planned on breaking it off when I moved. It just seemed convenient, I guess. But since my mother seemed to approve of him, I took her cue rather than following my own heart. And this is the moral of the story. There would be devastating consequences in that relationship, and any of you who have taken my webinar, which you can find at queenbeing.com after this session, which is free, I tell that story in pretty graphic detail in that webinar. But there would be devastating consequences for years, well beyond that relationship, as a result of that relationship. It would have, in ways I won't even go into today. But I'm sharing this with you because it is just one of many examples where I made a significant life choice based on what someone else wanted instead of what felt right to me. So how many times have you not followed your heart because you were worried about what people might think? How often have you avoided doing something that you truly wanted to do because you couldn't stand the idea that other people would judge you? And how often have you based your major life choices on your own desires as opposed to having allowed other people to influence you? Do you have regrets? Because maybe you've given someone else the power to make decisions in your life, whether directly or indirectly. I know I do. Well, did. I try not to regret anything now. Have you ever chosen a job or a partner or a home because someone else thought you should do that? Most all of us, I would say nearly any survivor, in fact, many people who haven't even gone through narcissistic abuse, but especially those of us who have, we've made a choice in our lives, a major life choice, based on what someone else wanted or their opinion. And very often it's a toxic person who has controlled us on some level, right? And while there are certainly times when it's appropriate to get opinions of other people, there are plenty of times that we regret not following our own intuition, right? But the thing is, when you accept the advice of someone else because you feel like it's right for you, you're still following your own gut, your own intuition, right? And then you can consider that inspired action. But when you bend to someone else's will to please them despite how you feel about it, well, you're shortchanging yourself in the happiness department, and that's not fair to you or maybe other people in your life. But why do we care so much about what other people think? What makes us do that? Well, first of all, it is generally human nature to care what other people think, obviously. From the time that we're born, we learn very quickly that when we do what someone else wants us to do, they become happy with us and that feels good, right? Now, part of that kind of goes back to as people pleasers, as people who have been in toxic relationships and we become people pleasers, we end up maybe going a little on the unhealthy side of trying to make other people feel good or be happy with us, right? But as we get older and we learn to make the occasional unpopular decision, my nose is itchy. Excuse me. A lot of times we're shocked to learn that some people actually seem, to stop being nice to us. We're shocked to learn that these toxic people, they stop being nice to us when we don't follow their advice for living. And this, I don't know if it's shocking to you, but it has been shocking to me even when it happened repeatedly in my life. I was always shocked to find that people would stop being nice to me when I made my own choice instead of following their choices. But ultimately, we care what people think because we are taught by these toxic people that we should base our identities on the messages that they give us, right? When our parents tell us, you did a good job by following the rules, if they tell us that, for example, we start to think, well, in order to feel good, I better follow the rules, right? Or when our kindergarten teachers scold us for coloring outside the lines, you know, we start to think, I better stay in the lines or else we're wrong, right? We take the messages that we hear from ourselves, about ourselves from others in everyday life, we take those messages and we internalize them to such an extent that we find ourselves dependent on the approval of others for our own self-worth. And again, this can happen to anyone, but this is especially true for people who go through toxic relationships because quite literally, we are taught from very early in our lives, if we are raised by toxic people, that if you don't do what I say, you're not good. And sometimes there are devastating consequences that come with not doing what people say, whether it's a physical thing or a mental thing, something negative comes our way, right? So are we supposed to just stop caring about this stuff, or what are we supposed to do? Well, you have to see that this is a two-sided coin here, because while we do certainly need to follow our hearts and we need to understand and listen to our own intuition and then take inspired action as necessary in order to make our own life choices, there are times when we have to follow the rules, right? And so, for example, in order to be productive members of society, we need to follow certain societal norms. And at the very least, we have to follow the laws of the land, right? So it is what it is. But the fact of the matter is that most of us aren't able to just kind of stop caring or turn off caring about what other people feel or think, especially people we care about. We feel the need to get their approval about our choices and our lives. And when we care about toxic people, it's a toxic situation, right? But even when we're out of these relationships, a lot of times we forget that we don't need to make everybody else around us happy. And we continue to live like we are sort of bound by other people's desires and needs. We don't want to become cold and immune to the emotions of other people. We want other people to be happy, but we still want to be happy too, right? So how do we find the balance? Well, obviously, I think to be happy, the first thing we have to do is we have to make our own choices. Whether we take someone else's advice or not should only be based on the fact, do we or do we not agree with or feel that advice is right for us? We have to follow our own inspiration, our own intuition, if we're going to create the lives that we want. At the end of the day, we are the ones that have to live with these decisions we're making, right? So where does this leave us? Are we doomed to this eternal internal struggle? Or is there something else we can do? How do we start taking charge of our own lives? And how do we stop letting the judgments and opinions of other people dictate our life choices? A lot of times I think we're afraid of what might happen if we don't bend to the wills of other people. You know, if It's about not feeling safe making our own choices. And many times this is because we were raised in such a way that if we did make a bad choice or a choice that someone else disagreed with, we were punished severely for it beyond the actual choice because of the fact that we didn't take their advice or their direction or guidance, right? We worry about what they'll think about us, what they'll say. Do they think we're just all huge jerks now? You know what I'm saying? And so the bottom line, I think, is that if you want to be happy, you have to look inside yourself. You have to look and figure out, what do I really want here? Because I think a lot of us don't even know what we want. And that's why a lot of times I try to, well, for example, I have the passion planner over at Queen Being. It's free, queenbeing.com/passion, if you're interested after this session's over. But the point is, until we know what we want, we might just be kind of going on autopilot, letting life happen to us. And here at Shine Buzz Daily, it's all about not letting life just happen to you, but taking it by the horns and, you know, owning that whole thing, right? Because we really do have the ability to intentionally choose our life. We do. But once we figure that out, we have to go after it regardless of who's going to be upset about it. You understand what I mean? We can't allow ourselves to be held back or stifled by someone who is going to have a problem with our behavior, especially if our behavior is legal and healthy for the most part. You know what I mean? I know that's easier said than done, but here's the question. What's the alternative here? I personally would say that living a life that has been designed and approved by someone other than you is unhealthy and miserable, or at least not happy. So I guess it's about picking your poison. Do you want to live the life that you want and deal with a little bit of dissonance over here? Or do you want to live the life that someone else chose for you and still deal with the BS over there? It's a legitimate question. I suggest that you be happy and you follow your own heart, that you do what you want. And I guess your alternative is to do whatever someone else says, and then you have to deal with those consequences. But in either case, you always have to deal with the consequences or the next level of next whatever comes next. If you choose to be happy and you make your own choices, you have my respect and applause. Not that you need my approval or anyone else's. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to give you a few tips to help you get started on that new, more in control self. Okay, real quick. First of all, it's about perspective, right? Let me just ask you to close your eyes for a minute and think about this. What is the worst possible thing that would happen if you made a choice that someone else disagreed with? In most cases, you're going to see a period of brief discomfort. Maybe. It's going to be a little uncomfortable for a while. And in most cases, if that person is a healthy person, they're going to accept your decision. And if they don't, that's a whole other ball of wax that I'd like to direct you to talk and think about no contact or low contact. But regardless, eventually most people will accept your choice. There are some people who would actually cut you out of their lives for making a choice that they didn't agree with. But are those people really your people? I don't know. I don't think so. But people who only like or love you conditionally, you know, again, no contact is an option or low contact. These people are those who are like, well, if you do what I think you should do and you act how I think you should act, then I'll love you or I'll like you. Those people, do you really want them having so much control in your life? I don't, personally. So you have to take it, consider the source is my point here. The next thing I want to share with you is think about the relationship that you're in with that person, whether it's a parent thing or a kid thing or a neighbor thing or a spouse thing or whatever it is. Is that person toxic? Is the relationship toxic? The next thing you have to think about is believing what you're saying and what you're doing, right? I know that sounds weird, but for me, growing up, I always felt like I was not a real person. And so when I had an exciting thing I wanted to do or I was feeling really passionate about something, I was very often shut down and told that that was ridiculous or that it was stupid or that I shouldn't be doing that thing. And I think that one of the biggest reasons that people feel comfortable telling you what to do with your life is that they think, and that you do, you accept and you expect that they will tell you what to do. And so we get in this habit because when we start to just sort of do what other people tell us, which a lot of us have done from early on, we doubt our inner voice. We We doubt our intuition. We doubt that thing inside of us that tells us what we need to be happy. So a lot of us, like I said, we don't even know what we need. And I think that taking the time to figure out what you want and then believing in what you want and believing in what you're saying, it's going to be a huge enhancement to your own choice-making ability, right? The next time that you choose to make an unpopular decision in your life, I want you to do so with confidence. I want you to recognize that when or if you choose to share that decision with someone who criticizes it, I want you to be prepared and smile. Smile and say, hey, I understand your concern and I appreciate that you're so worried about me, but I've really thought this through and I have chosen whatever it is carefully. Then leave it at that. You don't have to say anything else. Do you want me to say that again? No, you got it. Okay. When you acknowledge that you are grateful for the fact that this person cares enough to tell you their opinion, they might feel validated and they might accept your choice a little more gracefully. Now, if we're talking about a toxic person, it might not work out so well, but you can still say that and say it with authority, because you are the only person who gets authority in your life, right? Remember that you're not asking for their permission and you're not asking for their approval. You're stating a fact that this is a choice that you have made. End of discussion. One more little hint for you. Have you guys ever seen that show, My Name is Earl? It's old. It ran about 4 seasons. If you haven't, you should take a look at it. It's pretty funny. But if you have seen that show, then you're going to know what I'm talking about next here. When you first see this character, Earl, he looks like a former convict who lives in a cheap motel and shares a bed with his brother, and all of those things are true. But if you take a second look, then you're going to notice something kind of special about this dude. When weird stuff happens in front of him, he doesn't judge the stuff. He doesn't judge the people. He never reacts negatively. He just observes. You see him being like this a lot. You know, that's interesting. And I always found that to be kind of inspirational in a weird way, because so often, you know, by nature, humans judge. And we judge things that are different than ourselves. And one thing that I have learned the very hard way in my life is to not do that so much. Basically, the way I live my life is, as long as you're not hurting anybody and you're mostly legal, do what you will. You know what I'm saying? Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt other people. But do what you will. Be happy. And I promise you, I won't judge you. You know, even if you're not totally happy, I still won't judge you, as long as you're doing what feels right to you. And even if you're not, I mean, I don't judge anybody. But my point is this: like attracts like. So once we're away from these toxic people, if we focus on judging or disapproving of other people or situations in our life, what do you think is going to happen? We're going to pull more people toward us who are judging and disapproving of our lives. Feel me? So instead of focusing on that negative stuff, focus on accepting the people around you, the healthy people. I don't want you to focus on, I mean, you can accept a narcissist, but that doesn't mean you have to let them stay in your life. I think it's actually really important to accept them for what they are, which is a toxic person without empathy, but that doesn't mean you have to let them stay in your life. My point is, though, that and again, when we're talking about toxic people or people that are bad for your life, you should accept them for what they are, but that does not mean you let them stay in your inner circle. So just keep that in mind. All right. Finally, accept yourself. Because look, speaking of accepting other people, why don't we extend that same courtesy to ourselves sometimes or all the time? If you're secretly judging and disapproving of your own choices, you need to figure out why. And I'm here to tell you that 80-90% of the time, that's because you're sort of doing the work of the narcissist for them. And what I mean is, for so long you spent hearing and being judged by this person, hearing about how you weren't good enough or you weren't whatever enough. And so you sort of develop this like little mini, you know, inner toxic person that wants to stand there and scream and yell about your bad choices, even though they may not be bad choices. It's like leftover narcissist stuff in your head. And I like to see it as sort of, you know, like a voice that's not our own. It's a negative inner voice that I believe was sort of planted there by the toxic people in your life. I've told you this before, but if you're struggling with that, imagine that there's a little ladder up the back of your head. This is a pattern interrupt you can use. Close your eyes and imagine there's a little ladder up the back of your neck, and you climb, little mini you climbs up that ladder and goes in there and finds that voice sitting in a chair. Maybe the voice looks like your narcissist. The chair has wheels on the bottom of it, and you push that chair right out of your nose, right out your brain through your nose. And it's a silly visualization, but it's a good pattern interrupt, and it helps you to remember not to let that voice direct your life, to reach down deep and find your own inner voice, your intuition that tells you, here's what would make me happy, you know, here's what I'd love to do with myself today, and do those things as you're able to do them, you know, or some version of them. If you are in that position, ask yourself, am I doing something that I really believe and feel is wrong? Or am I doing, you know, or am I judging myself because of what happened to me in the past? If you are judging yourself because you're doing something that you believe is wrong, figure out why. What are your motivations for that? I mean, most of us don't actively try to do things we feel are wrong. If you're judging yourself because of that old inner voice, you know, push them out the nose, baby. If someone else thinks what you're doing is wrong and you're happy doing that, you got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up and be who you are. You don't owe them an explanation. You don't owe them an excuse or anything like that. You don't have to justify yourself. Just be who you are and be okay with that. Unapologetically embrace yourself. That's really important here. People who love you will be happy that you're happy. You feel me? I hope you are with me on this. All right, really quickly, I'm going to read the cards and then I'm going to jump into the chat. Let me pull my window back up so I can see you all. Hello, hello. All right, so quickly, here are, you know the deal, right? It's time to read the cards. Ba-dum-bum, okay. Hello, everybody. Today, as always, we are starting with the Dialectical Behavior Therapy deck. Excuse me, Behavior Therapy Skills deck. And today's card is an emotional regulation. I almost dropped everything right off the top of my desk. That's bad. Today's card is an emotional, good pattern interrupt for me, an emotional regulation card, number 35, increase your positive emotions. So I would like to have you grab your pens and your pencils and all those things and your paper and write this down because this is your assignment for today. Actually, an assignment for the whole week for next week. Schedule one positive activity each day for the next week. It can be big, like going out to dinner, or small, like reading a book. After each activity, record what you did, how it made you feel, and what you thought, and then consider scheduling more positive activities in the future. I love this. This is really good because I think a lot of us forget about doing nice things for ourselves. And I think that's a really positive way for us to kind of start to remember to do that. So that's your assignment. I'm going to take that challenge myself. How about you? Are you with me? Let me know in the chat here. All right, everybody. So next up is our daily affirmation, which comes from the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck. Now, again, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last deck, but both of these decks will be linked in the description below after this video goes live again. But you don't need to buy these because I'm literally sharing every single one of them with you over the next several weeks. And I've already gone, like, I think 30, 35 episodes so far. So here we go. Today's affirmation. Oh, that's a pretty card. Can you see that? Today's affirmation says, write this down. This is your affirmation for the day. My true safety lies in my capacity to align with the love of the universe. I love that. Again, you can replace the universe with God if that's not your thing. My true safety lies in my capacity to align with the universe. That is today's affirmation. All right. Now, while we are here, I would love it if you guys would jump on in with your questions. I will be here for a little while longer to chat you up and whatnot. So here we go. Do you have your coffee? All right. Shred Squad, welcome back. Shannon, hello and welcome. Melanie, hello, welcome. Maura, representing the Mod Squad. Thank you for being here, my friend. What's for tea in the house? Martha Ross. Wanting my mother's approval and love was the start of my mess. Same girl, same. Same, same, same. Never got it either. That's the unfortunate part. Good morning, Miss Bonnie. And Martha says, similar story for my first marriage. I feel you. Hey, Butterfly Mama, welcome back. Alicia, welcome. Rita, hello, hello. Shayu, welcome back. And let's see here. Stephanie Michelle says, I created a whole false self based on what others wanted. You are not alone there. I did the same thing. And when I finally came out and became my real self, people were shocked a little bit. I can't lie. No, I mean, I was always myself, but I was a different version of myself. And I don't really know that I even knew who myself was until I was much older. I had an idea. I had an idea around the edges, but I was so busy thinking I was wrong for wanting to be myself that I tried really hard not to, and publicly, anyway. What's for Tea says, my first marriage was actually my friend, but I was too young. The second and last marriage, covert narcissist. I should have followed my gut. I do now. Yeah, same, same, same. All the same. I can relate to that. Yes, absolutely. Shayu can relate to Stephanie as well with the creating the whole false self. Yeah. Bonnie says, I always had to live with the long-known fact that my mom and family would launch a smear campaign and gossip about me if I didn't people please. Yeah. And now you finally, I think, stepped outside of that, and I hope you're feeling really good about it still, Bonnie. Shannon says, I'm trying to help my boyfriend recover from a narcissist he was married to for over 25 years. Woo, that's tough. That's tough. You personally haven't experienced this, Shannon? Let me know. Alicia says, yeah, I chose to go to a university because someone else wanted me to, same, and thought it would be best. They played a let's make a deal kind of thing. I held up my end, but they didn't hold up theirs. Yeah, I've actually been exactly there. Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Alicia says, I wish I'd been more selfish earlier in life. Same, same. But I try really hard not to regret what happened in the past because you and I both know we can't change it. So maybe instead of sitting around and not that you sit around, maybe instead of stressing yourself out about that, you can think about, you know, going forward without regrets because it really does feel better. And because we can't change it, we're just stressing ourselves about something that we have no control over. And I really like to focus on only worrying or stressing about things I can control. And once I've done whatever I can do to change or modify the situation or affect the situation, I have to let go of whatever it is because you can't allow yourself to take up emotional energy or allow things you can't control to take space in your head. You got enough stuff to worry about. You know what I'm saying? All right. Bonnie says it's like a form of blackmail. Yes, girl. When you have to people please or the smear campaign ensues. Well, that's true. And I've experienced that smear campaign on various levels as well throughout my life. And I know you have too, Bonnie. Yeah. Martha says, I've had many regrets with choosing things my mother wanted me to do my entire life. She has manipulated me. My entire life, she manipulated me. In 1 week, it'll be 1 year no contact with her and my flying monkey brother. I am so proud of you, Martha. I know it's hard, but I have almost an identical situation. It's been longer than a year for me, but yep. Yep, yep, yep. Hey, Stacy Style, welcome back. Rita says, be careful, Shannon. Narcissists sometimes accuse the other people in their lives of being narcissists. That is a valid point. Yep. Martha says there were intense consequences. In my case, the smear campaign was someone sending out messages in a church newsletter talking about my craziness. But it turned out that at the time, that newsletter had about 200 followers, maybe. And it turned out that I was blogging at that time and I had 10,000 followers. So some of which were connected to the person who put the things out in the newsletter. So I just let them know in no uncertain terms that if we were publicly airing our business, I would be happy to share my opinions with my 10,000 followers. So then it stopped. That's a little bit of a threat, but hey, whatever, whatever it takes. Let's see here. Purple Flurp, I love that name. Hello, Purple Flurp. I think you've been here before. Welcome back. Says, yeah, my daughter says that I'm too nice, always pleasing others. Another side effect of being raised by a narcissistic mother. Yes, indeed. Yes. Laura says, hey, Laura, welcome. Says, peace comes the more I am true to myself. I'm guilty of being my own person, yet at the same time, I've struggled with what my mind and gut tells me and what I do or go out of my way to help others. So here's the thing. I think it's okay if it feels good to you to go out of your way to help others. I do little things for people all the time that I never even talk about. And I have little pay it forward things I do, you know, habitually, like over tip and things like that. But those are things I want to do because I choose to do them. That's why I don't talk about them. You know, I just do them because it feels good to me to help people when I can. But it's different when someone else guilts you into helping them or tries to make you feel bad about yourself for not doing whatever it is they want. You know, I think, Laura, what it comes down to is exactly what you said, being more true to yourself. You know, deciding, do I want to help this person because that's the right thing to do, because it feels good to me, or do I want to help this person because I'll, you know, be treated badly if I don't? You know what I mean? And I don't think it's bad to want to help people. I don't. I mean, this is what I do for a living. You know what I mean? I think it's good to want to help other people, but not when it comes to, you know, being excessively detrimental to your own life. Do you understand what I mean? Paying stuff forward, you know, favors have been done for me in the past, so that's part of the reason that I help other people out today, because it's about paying it forward. And someone even told me that once when I was in a really bad situation. Someone helped me with a situation I was going through, and I said, what can I do to repay you? And they said, that was about 20, and they said, just, you know, pay it forward when you can. And so I have always done that. I think it's really positive and healthy and good karma and all that stuff. Bonnie says, the narcissist can even use religion as a way to keep you in line. Yep, twisting religion to suit them and them only. Often. I have often experienced that often. Yes. Mo Cowboy, hey, hey, welcome back, my friend. And Shannon says, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't approve of what we do in life. Tell them to go scratch and just do what makes you happy. That's the bottom line. Yeah. And you don't have to be rude about it. You can just say exactly what I said. You know what? I've thought about this, and I appreciate your concern, but I've thought about this, and I've made this choice, and I'm excited or happy or whatever about it. Leave it at that. You don't owe them anything at all. Not even that much of an explanation, but if you choose to give them that much, that's what I would do, and walk away. That's it. Don't allow them to... See, I think when we're raised by these people, we very often don't even know how to do that. We don't know that it's okay to do that, even when we're adults. I was controlled until I was 35, you know, and when we recognize, and I wasn't like I was living under their roof or being having them pay my bills or anything. It was, I just was in the habit of being controlled, and I allowed it to continue until I didn't anymore, you know? And so that's what, I think it's an intentional choice. Yeah. Martha says to Laura, I understand that, me as well. Shannon says, my narcissist always used manipulative tactics and then blamed me when things went south. Yep. That's very common, Shannon. Yes, it is. Yep. Let's see here. Hey, Hope, welcome back. And we have Carmen Miranda in the house. Hello, hello, Carmen. Welcome. Hello, Grace. Welcome back. Martha says, that's one thing that sent me to tears. I lost all knowledge of what I wanted and what made me happy. Yes. She said, I had put others there for far too long. Girl, I can relate to that. And that's what I did. I did for many years. And then when I really took the time to figure out, well, what do I really want? That was enlightening. I would highly recommend that if you haven't figured out what you want, that you think about that. I have this one course called Rewriting Your Story. And in that course, I talk about how you first need to kind of clear yourself of all the negative beliefs that aren't true about yourself or things that other people put in your head. And then once you've done that, you can kind of fill your vessel with what it is, your vessel being your being, yourself, with the things that do make you happy, that do make you excited and passionate and whatever about your life, things you actually want. And sometimes we have no freaking idea what that is. So it's kind of exciting when you get to that point and you can start figuring it out if you let it be exciting. Some people think it's a little traumatic to not know, but I personally think once you know that you don't know, it's a gift, because then you can have fun with filling that vessel, deciding, gosh, what do I love to do? What do I want to do? And, you know, experiment and try new things. And sometimes they'll be awesome and you'll be like, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life? Sometimes you'll be like, nah, that's not that great. But that's okay, because you're trying new things and doing new things. Do you understand what I mean? All right. Hello, Minky. Welcome. Uncle Meow Meow is back. Welcome back, Uncle Meow Meow. Says, is it possible to reflect on ourselves after dating a narcissist and recalling that we had small instances of showing narcissist traits in past relationships? Or would that be us being immature and learning from it? Maybe a little of both. You have to remember that when you are raised by or spend large amounts of time with a narcissist, a couple things happen. Not only do you become, you know, often codependent, often you stop having your own voice, but also you pick up little habits from these people. For example, with my ex-husband, I found him to be kind of a bully sometimes. When he would talk to certain people, he would talk down to them and talk to them like they were less than and so on and so forth, and kind of bully them into saying what he wanted. And at one point I noticed myself kind of using similar tactics with someone, and I instantly stopped myself and I was like, what am I doing? This is not me. Well, we call that narcissistic fleas. And what it is just simple bad habits you've picked up. And when you recognize yourself having a flea, then you stop and you make a choice to not do that anymore. The difference between you and a narcissist is that the narcissist, A, probably wouldn't notice that there was any issue wrong with what they were doing, and B, certainly wouldn't bother to change what they were doing to help someone else in any way. So yeah, I do think, and Uncle Meow Meow, if you want after this session, go into search Angie Atkinson fleas, and you'll find a video that I made about exactly this. Yeah. Yeah. And also certainly immaturity is a real fact of young adult life, and we do grow and change and do better as we get older as well. So, yep. Let's see here. Shannon says to Bonnie, you're right. They twist religion in their twisted, manipulative lies to get their way. Yes, they do. Many of them. Yes, Bonnie says, my only alternative was to go no contact and finally be free. Yes, and it's a beautiful thing, right? I think. Stacy Style, hello, hello. Jerry is back. Hey, Jerry, welcome back. Says, soon 8 months no contact with a borderline narcissist. Right on. Or a borderline person. Bonnie says, Shannon, mine did in an extreme. Stacy says, appreciate you. Back at you. Hope says, people pleasing is not healthy at all. You're not allowing yourself to be your true self. And that's the fact. But we don't always know that when we're doing it, right? Part of us thinks, well, I'm just somebody who likes to help other people. Okay. But when people pleasing becomes toxic is when it means we're not doing what is right for us. We're not following our own heart, our own intuition. We're doing what someone else says, despite the fact that we're screaming on the inside, stop. And I may have mentioned this before, but when I was marrying my ex-husband, I remember standing on the altar and going, I can't believe I'm doing this. And inside my head, I'm screaming, no, run. And I'm still doing it. And I thought, oh, I'm so proud of myself when I was done, you know, the ceremony. I'm like, oh, I got through it. I did so good. I overcame my cold feet. But in real life, I that was my intuition screaming inside my head, don't do this. What is wrong with you? What are you doing? And I couldn't allow myself to listen to it because I was so conditioned to believe that whatever I thought, felt, wanted, believed, all that stuff was wrong. And so I literally went against my own intuition and married someone who would go on to emotionally abuse me. Awesome, right? No, that sounds like a small thing, but when you really think about it and you think about how many choices have we made in our lives where we literally went directly against what our body and our mind and our soul was saying to us. You know what I mean? I made a lot. And I'm so grateful now that I'm being more true to myself, but I know that, and I think about all the time, my life would have been so different. But on the more positive side, I try really hard not to have those regrets because I don't believe that I would have the life that I have today without having made those choices in the past. And the life I have today is pretty good. So, okay, let's see here. Hope says, oh, I said Hope's already. Thanks, Hope. Martha says, I've dealt with the consequences of making my own choices my whole life. It wasn't what she desired. They were extreme consequences. Yeah. Well, see, you're smarter than I was because I for so long I made the choices that I thought I needed to make based on what that person wanted for me, or really just I just really wanted this person to like me and to say, you did a good job, kid. You know, you're all right, you know, I'm proud of you. But anytime that came, it was with strings attached and usually for something I didn't really feel that good about because I did it for that person, not because it was what I wanted. So that's almost like a double-edged sword. or an extra slap in the face or something there. I don't know what the right thing is, but anyway, yeah. Jerry says they need you, but you don't need them. And I think there's some truth to that for sure. Because narcissists, they do need us for our supply. We think we need them, but as we go through recovery, we begin to intentionally recognize who we are and what our power, how powerful we can be without being constantly crushed by that person. We start to realize exactly what Jerry says here. They do need us and we don't need them. You know, I know some of you are stuck and some people are stuck in situations because of financial issues and stuff like that. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, if money were not an issue, I bet you there would be far less of us stuck in those relationships, honestly. I mean, certainly some people would still be there, but a large percentage of people would walk away if money was not an issue. I think that I'm talking about abuse survivors and or victims, I think a lot of them stay for the wrong reasons, but they think they can't make it on their own or whatever. I mean, I know I stayed way too long for the wrong reasons. I tolerated way too much crap for the wrong reasons. But when you get clear and you realize that you can do it on your own, you can make it, you can move forward, then that helps a lot. Now, I know some of our people here in this chat, I don't know if they're here today or not, but some of them have physical disabilities that stop them from being able to get a regular job, or, you know, emotional issues that they're stuck in for different reasons. And I'm not judging those people, and I'm not saying, you know, you're not good enough because you don't do this. I'm not saying that. I understand there are some really difficult situations for people. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm in any way implying that you're not doing the right thing for making whatever choice you're forced to make. But I will say this, if you are in that situation, you have to do your best to sort of emotionally separate yourself from that person and work on yourself, because you never know what can happen in the future. And there are a lot of, you know, I work from my own house all the time, pretty much all the time. You know, I don't really have to leave unless I want to go to the grocery store or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So like, I have to pick up my kids sometimes, little things. But if I wanted to, I could almost be a hermit. I don't want to. I choose to try to have a little bit of a life, but just a little bit, because I'm okay with my own company. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Laura says, most turn out to use me one way or another. I want to live my life and follow my heart. Only worried about how I'm going to the next level, or only worried about going to the next level, and I'm going through the struggle in helping others who don't reciprocate. All right, so something that might help is that when you go through this kind of thing, I don't ever, that's not true. Rarely do I expect someone I help to reciprocate. And what I mean by that is sometimes people will reciprocate and then I'm grateful. But if I go in expecting someone to give back to me for whatever it is that I gave to them, I'm usually sadly disappointed. So what I do now is I just help, and when it comes to my children, I do whatever I can for my kids. Those are my kids. But outside of them, I help someone if I'm able to help someone in a way that I can do without, you know, putting myself in the ground. And excuse me one second. Sorry about that. That was weird. I had this anyway. Without putting myself into the ground, but also without breaking myself financially. You know, like, I don't loan people money. If somebody needs my help, if I can afford to help them financially, then I just give them the money. You know, I don't expect people to do things for me. And that has eased a lot of stress. There are people in my life, though, who do a lot of things for me, and I'm so grateful for those people. You know what I mean? And so certainly there are some relationships where there's reciprocation. But in general, I try not to expect it. I don't know. But some people, when you help them, they literally like slap you. I mean, not literally. They metaphorically slap you in the face as though they feel entitled to your help. And those people do not get my help anymore. Laura, maybe you can look at only helping people who aren't going to treat you like crap when you help them. You know, people who will be grateful and only helping people without putting yourselves too far out of commission. Do you know what I mean? I mean, certainly I'm willing to be a little bit uncomfortable for someone if I need to be, but it just depends on the person and the situation. You know what I mean? So, all right, let's see here. Hope says, coming out of the closet helped me to stop being a people pleaser. Yes, because you spent so long pretending to be something that you weren't, or at least hiding who you were. And when you do that, it's horrible, and it's not fair to you. You know what I'm saying? It's not fair to anyone who is walking around in the world having to hide their true self. I really think that's one of the biggest traumas of coming out of a toxic relationship, is that we spent so long pretending that we were whatever they wanted us to be, or trying to be whatever they wanted us to be, and pushing our true selves down. And some of us, it takes years before we can actually pull our true selves out of there. We don't even know what our true self looks like sometimes, you know? And I think that's very painful and difficult for us. So Hope, I'm totally picking up what you're putting down right there. Yeah, Stacy, life is too short to not put yourself first. And again, you know, let's think about that airplane example. You're in an airplane with your kids, and they tell you, you have to put your own oxygen mask on before you can do it for your kids if something should happen. And a lot of, you know, that goes against our instinct as, if you're a parent like me, it goes against your instinct of being a parent. You know what I'm saying? My phone is ringing. That's odd. But if you don't stop and put your own oxygen mask on first, chances are that your kid isn't going to make it either, because you're going to pass out before you can put theirs on. Do you understand what I mean? So it's this whole thing. Bonnie says, I took a heavy hit for going no contact. The fallout was pricey, but all things considered, it was the only choice left in my situation. Yes. Yes. And that's the thing. I'm sure I'm out of the will. I've been out of the will for years, I'm sure. I don't care about that stuff. I really don't care. In fact, side note, when I did marry that ex-husband of mine, I got a phone call from my mother who said that, I just want you to know that we've taken you out of the will because we're afraid that you're going to come to our house and kill us in our sleep. I mean, me, who has never raised a hand to anyone in my life, who has would never, this is what was said to me. I mean, that is just blatant. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's projection. Either way, I said, that's fine with me. I don't want your stupid money anyway. And I still to this day feel just like that. I don't care about that. I would rather, like you, Bonnie, I would rather be at peace and happy in my life than worry about some stupid money. It was the only choice for me when I did it as well, Bonnie. Hope said, coming out was really uncomfortable, but it was a relief at the same time. I can imagine. I didn't have the same sort of coming out you did, because I just happened to be born hetero, but I do understand that. And I know that a lot of people, I think I've talked before about my child who came out as gay at age 10. And a lot of people tell me that she can't know that. Well, I knew I liked boys at 10. But for her, I was very, very like, okay, that's fine with me. Whoever you bring home in the future is fine with me. As long as they treat you with love and respect, I will love them, period. Period, end of discussion. How can I support you? You know, but most, especially kids that are adults, people who are adults now, a lot of us, people who did go through that and who did come out, found themselves being ridiculed, belittled, you know, hate speech coming their way from their own family, you know, worse sometimes. But I think in your case, Hope, you know, yeah, being uncomfortable sometimes for temporary purposes, because once you got through it and you'd said it and it was out there, the discomfort goes away and you become more comfortable with it as time goes on. And sometimes the people around you will become more accepting, but if they don't and they choose to leave your life, you know, truck them. You know what I'm saying? They're not your people. And I'm proud of you, Hope, for being able to come out and do that. I know that that must be very difficult. And I hope that for anyone who is watching now or in the future, if you have a child that comes out, be just really open. And if you can't react positively, don't react at all until you take the time to compose yourself, and then give them the best support you can. Okay, moving right along. Jiri says, never let someone be your highest priority when you are only an option for them. Yes, girl. Yes, or guy. Grace says, my parents were well-meaning, but they told me if I followed my career, my My parents were well-meaning, but they told me if I followed my career dream, I would fail. I'm 42 and just now starting to work on building that dream after all. Yeah, see, that same thing happened to me. They told me I wanted to be, when I was second grade, I wanted to be an artist. I noticed I was really good at drawing, and I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. And I was told very quickly, artists don't make money, you can't do that. And now today I know that I could have done that, and I could have done quite a lot with it, but we didn't know the internet was going to be invented back then. So I decided to go with my other love, which was writing, and that worked out well for me in the long run. But yeah, I get that. And I'm, you know what, Grace, good for you for doing it now. Because in my opinion, it's never too late. I mean, sometimes it feels that way, but it's never too late if you really give it, if you figure out what it is that you want. If you've always wanted to, like, say, be a dentist, I'm only saying that one because I, for about 10 minutes, I wanted to be a dentist. I got over it when my braces came off, though. But when you, if you have, let's say you want to be a dentist, and your whole life you thought, I want to be a dentist, and everybody said, you can't be a dentist, nope, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, whatever. Well, let's say you're 40 years old, and you're like, well, I still want to be a dentist. Go back to school. Try it. See what happens. One baby step at a time. Maybe if you wanted to be a dentist today, when we finish this, you go online and you find out where's the closest dental school and what do I need to do to qualify to get in and how long is it going to take me, et cetera, et cetera. That's a lame example, but I believe that you can follow your career dreams even when you're 42. Yes, I do. I'm 44. I know what I'm talking about. Stacy says, let's push ourselves to love ourselves. Yes. She said, I'm going to push myself to work out today. That is great, Stacy. Good for you. Absolutely. I love that. Morris says, Bonnie, I'm so proud of you. I'm sure that was not easy at all. Yes, I know. I know exactly. And Maura, I know that you know because we were all in that group together and it was hard, but she did it and we are all so proud of her. Martha says, Bonnie, my cost of going no contact cost me dearly, financial and emotional, but I had to go or die. Same girl, same. Yes. Diana says, smile and look pretty. I don't know if I can look pretty, but I can smile. All right, sorry. I think you're talking about, maybe you're talking about what the narcissist told you to do is smile and look pretty instead of being who you were. And I heard similar things, but not the look pretty part because I was, this is funny, I'll just, a little side story. One time I was going somewhere with my mother and my daughter was a little baby. She was like, I don't know, less than a year old. And I had these little sunglasses on her and she looked so cute. And I was like, you're so adorable, blah, blah. You're so beautiful, blah, blah. My mother says, why are you telling her that? I'm like, because look at her. She's adorable and beautiful. Why wouldn't I tell her that? And her response was, you shouldn't tell her that. She's going to get a big head and think she's better than everybody. So you know what I probably heard growing up, right? Okay. Anywho. Hey, Violet. Welcome back, my friend. Shannon says, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't approve of what we do in life. Yeah, I think I read that one already. Did I? Okay. Rapunzel says, Hey, Rapunzel, welcome. I've already decided if and when my GC sister, GC, asks anything, my answer is, I don't owe you any explanation. Yes. You don't owe her any explanation, you know? Unless somebody's paying your bills, you don't owe them anything, in my opinion, you know, at all. Mo Cowboy said Earl was hot, just saying. I could see that. Yeah. I liked his whole vibe. It was so mellow. Martha Ross says, I can smile again, even though she damaged my front teeth with a kick to the face after I saved her life a year ago. Martha. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, Jen Archer, welcome back. We have two Mod Squad ladies in the house today. Welcome, welcome. Both of you all are awesome. Thank you for being here. Grace says, Earl was hot. Just saying. Also, just saying. Yeah, I can dig that. I never looked at him as hot, but I think that's because he wasn't my type, per se. But I really loved that show. And in fact, I just rewatched it not that long ago because it's such a fun show. But everybody has a different type. Don't misunderstand me. I probably could have found him attractive except for that giant mustache. It just threw me off. I'm not a facial hair person in most cases. I mean, that's not true. I see some people that rock facial hair, but I rarely find just a mustache to be. Well, we're just off topic. Let me move on. I don't mind like a little a whole situation there. Mad Jax says, hey, Mad Jax, welcome. I get your notifications daily. One way or another, they seem to find me forcing me to accept in the knowledge of everything. I truly know what I need, repeating in my mind daily. Thanks, Angie. Well, that's awesome. And I'm so glad to hear you say that. I'm really happy to know that it's helpful for you. And that's part of the reason I'm doing this daily show, because I want all of us to know what we deserve, what we can have. You can have a life that you love. That's the thing I'm here to talk about, really, ultimately, is that you can have a life you love. And with each little topic that I cover each day, I hope that maybe you'll find one thing in it, or one sentence, or one comment, or something that maybe gives you one baby step toward that life that you want. I feel really, really passionate about this, because I feel like imagine if all of us, just the 88 people here in this room right now, if we all pass on a positive something to one other person today, or one other person in our lives, and then those people all go and pass it on to another person. Imagine how many people we could affect in the world just by being nice to one other person, or by doing something small for one other person, or helping a person feel not so bad about themselves or their life. It's a good thing. And it's good for you, it's good for me, it's good for all of us if we can positively affect ourselves and the world around us, and maybe in a ripple effect, eliminate some toxicity out there, or at the very least, help people not stay stuck in this, and help the people who, the empaths, the former codependents, the people who have been through the ringer, recognize, hey, all those people that told you that you weren't good enough, they were wrong. Turns out you're amazing, and it turns out you can have the life you want, period. That is a beautiful thing, don't you think? All right, I'm sorry, I'm off topic again. Okay, let's see here. So, yes, Jerry, I totally agree with you. Get rid of them. Toxic is toxic. Abuse me once and I discard you. That's my way for 2020. I love that, Jerry. And that has to be one of those mantras, like a deal breaker. Somebody who abuses you physically or mentally does not get to be in your life, period. That's how I feel, and that's how I live today. Jesse says, cheered me, Earl. I showed my sons, they loved it too. Interesting. Wonder if it influenced them. I wonder that too. The way that somebody would do something completely crazy in front of him, he'd be like, oh, and that attitude for me that was very refreshing for me to see it the first time around. And sometimes when I feel the need to calm down a little bit, and I'll watch another episode of Earl, because it gives you that. You're just noticing, you're seeing it, you're aware of it, you're observing it, but you're not like, I'm taking that into myself, or I'm offended by that, or whatever. Just cool. That's cool. Are you happy? Yes. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Yeah. Jerry Conway, hello and welcome. Jerry says, blessings to you, Angie. Thank you for all of your insight and wisdom. My pleasure. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you. Bonnie says, I used to people please, but I am mostly reformed now. Instead of saving everyone else, I have finally saved myself. Yes, girl, yes. I love that. Big hugs. Hands up for Bonnie, everybody. And Martha's right there with you. She says, yes, Bonnie. Yes. Jerry says, buying gifts for him, and he didn't even look inside the box. Typical. Yeah. Mad Max says, Carmen says, yeah, right on, Jerry. Mad Jax says, I need someone today. It's been an extremely over-the-top slam-on-me morning. Oh, boy. His insults seem to get harsher and harsher, more than I ever knew existed, Listen, Mad Jax, this is what I want you to know. A lot of times when they do that to us, they're dumping their own emotional garbage on us. They're not giving us, they don't see us as whole people. They see us as extensions of themselves. And when you're in that place where the insults are coming one moment after the next, with these people, a lot of times it's really not even about you. It's really about whatever other thing they're dealing with outside of you that they're not sharing for whatever reason. And, in those cases, if you're reacting with tears, you're reacting with screaming back at them, all that stuff, they want that. They want you to react the way that you're reacting, because that is supply for them. So try next time not giving him your energy, right? So next time he starts with the insults, you could do one of two things. You could ignore them and just pretend you don't hear them, or you could repeat them back to him. I've seen this happen many times, and it's very interesting how they react. So if he says, I'm just going to use a lame example that I always use. If he says, you have a big stupid nose, you could be like, yeah, you know what, you're right, I do have a big stupid nose. Or you could say, interesting, and have your face, watch this. No expression, no energy. Keep it low energy, calm energy, no expression. Gray rock. Look up Angie Atkinson, Gray Rock, right after the session, and watch one of those videos, because that's what it's all about. You don't give them what they want when they treat you that way, and then they stop treating you that way. They still treat you not great. You should still be thinking about getting out, but they'll try something different to get your attention. So, something to think about. Let's see here. Shannon Williams says, cheating, horrible person. Yep. Martha says, it's heartbreaking to give an open heart, to give with an open heart and have it not mean anything to the person. I agree with that. And that's why when you give with an open heart, give to someone who will appreciate it. Maybe they don't reciprocate because they're not able to in some way, but if they appreciate it and they're not treating you like they're entitled to your help, that's sometimes worth your time. But I agree with you on that. Yeah, Bonnie says, try to tune them out for a bit. Mad Jax, try to regroup doing little things that you enjoy even for a little while. Yep, I agree. Jerry says, yes, it is. They are heartless. Yes. Yes, they are. Thank you, Stacy. Stacy says, I'm so thankful to be here with Angie and all of you. Yes, indeed, my friend. Jerry says, he tried to Hoover me in 3 months and I haven't answered. Thank you, Angie. I don't owe him anything. Jerry, yes, I love to hear that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, because I think, you know, Hoovering is so easy to fall for because they're so good at it, and good for you for seeing through it and not going back, really. Martha says, and I love this, I've learned that no is a perfectly acceptable answer. That's right. It is. It is. Yes. Yes, it's a wonderful group. Alicia says, yes, yes, yes. This is something I need to hear today. Thanks, Angie. I'm so glad to hear that, Alicia. That makes my heart happy. Let's see here. Yeah, Shannon says to Mad Jax, hey, look for an escape. It's only going to get worse. And that's the sad truth. Yes, everybody agrees. Nicole Angelina. Hey, girl. Hey, welcome back. Happy to see you, my friend. Oh, it just did it to me. It did the thing where it jumps down. Oh, gosh darn it. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate you. Corey says, I would struggle with her hoovering. This is all really new. Yep. Seeker says, I'm almost 1 month no contact. I'm struggling. Lots of health problems after 22 years of abuse. It's all connected, my friend. It's all connected. Okay. Yep. Grace Fair. I love Gray Rock so much. Yes, indeed. Okay. I would love to stay and talk to you guys some more. But first, well, okay, I'm going to just, hey, Joy, welcome back. I just saw this one comment I want to touch on. And I'm going to touch on that comment. And here it goes. Rapunzel says, they are vampires. They cannot make their own happiness. They have to steal it from someone else. The sadder they can make you, the happier they become. That's the truth. Energy vampires. And if you guys have ever seen that show, True Blood, okay, I know. If you have seen it, if you haven't seen it, and you're not offended by sometimes graphic scenes, I would suggest that you watch it 1 second. But True Blood, it's like a series set in, I think, Louisiana, in modern day or current day Louisiana, and there are vampires that come out of the closet and say, hey, we're vampires. And the whole world then has to react to vampires. Well, it's very fascinating to me because the way the show runs is like, if this really happened in our current society, how would that look? It's really interesting. Anyway, but the vampires, there are all these other magical beings that start to come out of the closet as well after the vampires do. And one of them is fairies. And the fairies, the main character is half fairy. Well, fairies apparently smell very good to vampires and they taste delicious to vampires. And if the vampire eats the vampire can walk in the light. The fairy's blood can heal the vampire. It's a whole thing. So, but the fairies are then attracted to the vampires because they can hear everybody else's thoughts. So when they're walking through a crowded restaurant or something, there's all this noise in their head. So when they see a vampire, they can't read them. They can't hear their thoughts. They can't read their thoughts. And so it's silent and quiet and peaceful. And so they find themselves attracted to the vampires. Well, the interesting thing is that the vampire, in order to walk in the sunlight, must consume the fairy. And we know that vampires by nature are dark. most people would agree. So I see it like the vampires and the fairies in this case are sort of like narcissists and empaths. You know, the empaths tend to have a light that people are drawn to, including the narcissist. And the narcissist finds the empath very attractive because the empath by nature reacts strongly and quickly to their negative emotions, does anything they can to help them, you know, sometimes is a people pleaser, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they want to eat them. They want to consume their light. And we tend to find the vampires very attractive initially if we don't know better, because they're exciting and dynamic and whatever else they show us that they are when we first meet them. Or maybe I tend to go for the broken artist types, you know. And in real life, they're not that deep. They're pretty shallow. They're pretty basic. And now we understand that. But boy, did we waste a lot of years on them. Anywho, if you want to check that out, that was a good show. Okay. All right. Yeah, right, Penny? Right. Exactly. Okay. Hi, Penny, by the way. Peace now. I can't read that one. Okay. Anywho, Grace says, yes, my intuitive imagination told me he wanted my light. I thought I was just being dramatic. Wrong. Yeah, she said, definitely tried to consume my light. Right? Exactly. Okay. All right, everybody. I am wrapping up for right now, but I will see you guys tomorrow during our live stream. And if you have any topics that you want me to touch on, let me know either here or through email. I just got one about, in fact, let me ask you before I go. Hey, exactly, Joy. Let me ask you before I go, and if you'll just quickly give me an answer in the chat, I'd appreciate it. Somebody emailed me saying they'd like me to talk about agoraphobia and how being stuck in a lot of us feel stuck in our homes, sort of, or we don't want to leave our house or whatever. And I admit that while I do spend a lot of time in my house because I work here, I also do leave the house. But if any of you are interested in knowing about that, say yes right now in the chat. And if you're not, say no, because I want to know if that's not of interest to you, because I have made videos on in the past about that, and I can send this person those videos, or we can have an open discussion about it tomorrow. So let me know if you want to stay. Graciela says yes. Yes, says Seeker Being. Okay, so if you want to hear about being stuck in the house as a, you know, as an empath, as a recovering codependent, say yes in the chat. Yes, I see that. Okay, good. Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so we're probably going to talk about that tomorrow then. Dixie, Jerry, good, good, good. Sherry, Tammy, Shannon, Joy, Penny. All right, good, 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 good. What does it say? P now Eno. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that right. I'm going to call you Daily. Has agoraphobia. Okay. Anxiety causes it. Yes, indeed. Christine, yep. Okay. Yes, Bonnie. Okay. Yes, Penny. Okay, very good, very good, very good. All right, then, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about agoraphobia and the meaning of it and why we get stuck there and how to get out of it. All right? So we'll see you guys tomorrow. And until then, take care of yourselves. Remember that you're not alone in this world. And thanks for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And thanks for letting me be a part of yours. I'll see you really soon.